Come one, come all. As these sisters show you some people that's grinding and standing tall. Highlighting the struggle as you're waiting patient just to make it. Debating your body aching, you're pacing for it to bubble. We all a village, so it's time to huddle. We gotta come together, empower us through the hustle. Yeah, and together we fall. So I'ma hold my brother and my sister up while we all on the come up. While we all on the come up. While we all on the come up.
Yo, welcome, we hype because it's 2017.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah. You are watching on
The Come Up.
Season 2, episode 5, y'all.
What's up, y'all?
As y'all know, or may not know, if this is your first time tuning in, my name is Michelle Michinor.
My name is Janine Holcomb.
And I'm Quinny from Philly. And you are watching on the come up. She just said that. I'm like,
we're just happy to be back, y'all. We're happy to be here. If you don't know, we like to bring people who are an influence to their community, to their respective industry, and we like to talk about just their trajectory and their story.
Nice word.
That's a good word.
Trajectory. I'm at school, y'all. we like to talk about their journey so that it can inspire even more people. We're super excited about our next guest. But before we get into that, how was everyone's holiday break?
Man.
The holidays was something else, weren't they? The holidays were good. I wasn't able to go. Well, I did go home for Thanksgiving, but I wasn't able to go home for Christmas or New Year. So I was here with my besties, and we just had a friend Christmas, friend New Year situation. It was so good. We
hit the streets of West Hollywood.
We toured down couple of times.
Wore matching PJs.
Go to their Instagram. They have the cutest like Christmas Day outfit collabo.
It was good. Shout out to the retailers for providing those.
Oh yeah, it was really great.
I was jealous. I wish I was there.
Oh no. Jealous. Excuse me.
Yes, sir. I was about to say over the holidays somebody was doing community work.
I was in Uganda teaching with my man. He was teaching like fitness and it was a lot of fun. And so we was there for 2 weeks, and then we spent a little bit of time in Dubai, and we came back. And I'm just happy to be back here on the show.
Look at that.
And with the viewers. But I'm even more excited about our guest today.
Our guest,
he out here changing lives.
He a singer.
Okay.
He a actor.
What else?
He a author.
What else?
He a dancer.
What else?
He a motivational speaker.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm sure there's more things that we don't even know. Right. So everybody, please give it up for Michael Wilson.
That's my intro.
I love it.
How you guys doing? I'm good. Wonderful. I'm tired, but everybody's tired in LA.
Yeah.
Everyone's tired in LA. Even people who ain't busy, tired. It's like, tired, what you been doing? I've been at 7-Eleven. I'm tired. I'm really good. I'm excited to be here. I've never been here, and I've known these ladies a minute, so that's exciting for me to just be a part of their journey in any capacity, whether it's this or, you know, being silly somewhere out in public. You know what I'm saying? You got a little bit of everything. You got to season up all the serious stuff. You know what I'm saying? Got to have some flavor to it. But yeah, I'm doing great. Life is good, and I'm excited for this year more than last year. And I think mainly because there's times when you like put in a lot of work and you produce product and you do all these things. And then there's other times when you have to really see how much you trust God. And so you have to allow yourself to enter into that place of rest. So it's doing from a different place. So I feel like this year is doing from a different place for me.
That's so dope.
I'm going to receive that. Put that in my pocket.
Can you just go ahead and just introduce yourself? Just give us a quick bio. I know you do so many things. I don't even know how to say quick, but give us just a bio for those who don't know you, as well as 3 fun facts.
Okay, well, everyone, I am Michael Wilson. Does it matter where I look?
No, the camera got you on all angles.
Bam, bam, all angles. Jesus, bless me from all angles, Lord. Yes. I just thank you for blessing me all angles.
Amen.
Okay, well, my name is Michael Wilson. I'm a Southern California native, which is kind of rare, especially in the industry. Most people move here. I was born in Riverside. My father was always in Los Angeles. So I was like, not really back and forth, because I don't have the typical dad story, but a couple of them years is very cliche and typical. So it's like in and out between Riverside and Los Angeles. I never knew I would be an entertainer. I never desired to be in the industry. I just desired to be great. I desired to be the best man I could be, and I desired to follow wherever God would lead me. Mm-hmm. And so at a young age, I learned the sacrifice of telling yourself no and telling your own dreams no, and having to pursue a whole new life that you felt would, you know, ultimately birth the bigger you. Right. So growing up, you know, I always had talents and skills, and I was always good with people. So I knew whatever I did would involve, like, communication and would involve people. That's all I knew. And a little bit of politics. Mm. Those are the three things I knew. I was like, people, politics, and I talk so much, God got to use that for something. You know what I'm saying? So I went to school, outgoing, was popular, but I didn't realize that was about influence. I just was like, oh, people like me. But it was already a gateway to who I would be later on. What is that, foreshadowing? Mm-hmm. It foreshadowed who I was supposed to be later. And I went to school, moved out to L.A. just for college. Never wanted still to do the industry. And it was interesting because God, I'm spiritual, y'all. I love the Lord. So you may hear Jesus a lot.
They okay? already know. We also love the Lord.
So. Hi, yes. So it was crazy because after I graduated high school, I had a decent pick of schools I could go to when it came to college. And originally I was set on San Diego State because they had a great communications department. And remember, at this point, I at least know I know how to talk. So I was like, I need to get there. So a week before I'm supposed to move in to housing, because they're on semesters, I hear God tell me, don't go to San Diego. And I'm like, don't go to San Diego? Like, this, where am I going to go? And it's, I also had not applied to any LA schools other than Pepperdine. And they were on semesters too, so it was too late to even say I was going to go, because I did get in. Mm-hmm. So that was the only LA school I had applied to, because I didn't want to move to Los Angeles, even though I was in Riverside, which is like an hour and a half away. I didn't need to be here. I didn't have any calling here. I wasn't trying to do the industry. Mm-hmm. My dad is the homie, but he's crazy. So it's like, I don't need to see you every day. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be in LA, right? Mm-hmm. So I go in there, I tell my mom, I stepped down, I'm like, look, the Lord just told me, and my parents weren't really, they weren't really religious, so I sounded crazy. I was like, the Lord just told me I can't go to San Diego. And they were like, but you move next week. I was like, I know, but I can't. I can't go. They're like, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know. So I go to my doctor, just like a normal checkup, and I'm telling my dilemma, like, doctor, I don't know, I just feel like I'm not supposed to go. God told me not to go. I know it sounds crazy. That's the school I want to go into, and they have a great communications department, and all these things. And then he goes, oh, that, he was like, it's okay. He was like, where do you think you're supposed to go? I was like, I think I'm supposed to move to L.A. And I said, I just always felt like, oh, maybe I'll go to L.A., get discovered, end up on TV. I was like, but that's not what I want to do. But something's telling me to go to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So he was like, well, did you apply to any L.A. schools? No, only Pepperdine, but it's already semesters. It's too late for that. He said, well, my son, when he was choosing between USC, his other option was Cal State L.A. They have a great communications department, even though it's a state school. It's not as strong as San Diego State is when it comes to the overall school, but their department is strong and share a lot of the teachers from USC. He's like, have you ever looked into it? I was like, no, out of all the colleges I've looked into, that was one I did not look into. The California education school system at that time had a program called ADVID, Advanced Via Individual Determination. And basically, you substitute your elective every year once you're in high school to take this college prep course. Mm-hmm. So you tour all of the colleges in your state. That's nice. Like, literally, you learn about them, and then between 10th and 11th grade, you take trips to all of these schools, road trips. Somehow, I still didn't go to this school. Still didn't know about this school, y'all. So this is not anything I, like, pulled out of my hat or had as a backup right. plan. I did not know. So he told me that I was, like, a state school. I got good grades. My SAT was killer. I can get in this school. I applied, called them, hustled them, got accepted, like, 2 weeks later, right? Still, I didn't move to L.A. yet. I took a quarter off, just got a part-time job, and I started one quarter late. I go to school, and I'm like, okay, I'm in Los Angeles. I didn't want to come here. This isn't even like a school I even applied to. But, you know, God, I just know I'm supposed to be here, so I'm going to rock it out. And I'm not hopeful, dude, that no matter what the situation is, I'm going to make it a good situation. You know, I take whatever's bad and make it good. You know, like, it could be the worst thing. And I'm like, it's just good enough. I could work with it. So I was working with my situation ultimately. And long story short, fell into my first acting job. And I knew I was supposed to do the industry from that moment. but I still fought it. Went back to school. School got harder. But not because school is hard, but because I'm supposed to be doing the industry, not school. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, Black people are expected to be talented when it comes to performing arts. We're expected to be great athletes. I want to be the Black guy they don't expect. That was really in my mind. I used to be, I'm still for my Black people, but I used to be so pro-Black, I was pro-nothing else. You know what I'm saying? I was only Black is what it was. And so I was really upset about this because I wanted to be what they weren't expecting a Black male to be. But I had to get over that, and eventually I became a little bit more of a universal person.
I mean, the crazy part is you're still a Black man that nobody expected.
Yeah, totally.
Because you have so many layers, so you right. are still that, but it's not what you thought it was. It
yeah,
was
not at all.
God saw for you.
Yeah, from the beginning.
Which is great. So, okay, what are three fun facts that people probably don't know?
Now, three fun facts. Well, one is a crazy fact. I have a really nice bed, but I like to sleep on the floor.
What?
Mm-hmm. So I'll go a month at a time sleeping on the floor next to my bed with just like two blankets. I don't know what it is.
The floor do be popping sometimes.
And the thing is, my bed is nice. It looks nice.
Do you have a rug or is it like a wood floor?
I have carpet.
Oh, okay.
Carpet. And I have like a separate raised like bed area, but still, it's just crazy that I enjoy the floor that much. I look around and be like, yo, I didn't sleep in my bed at all this month. I literally just get comfortable right on the side. I don't know if it's more cozy or something. So that's one thing. I love cartoons. Aww. It's like animated action, anything. I'm 8-year-old boy every day. I watch it all the time. Young Justice is new, but it's banging. Get into it. Another fun fact. What is another fun fact? I don't know if it's a fun fact, but it's a fact. I don't lie. I don't lie. So don't ask me anything you don't want to know the truth about because I don't lie.
Not even like white lies?
I don't do white lies either. I don't lie,
period. I don't even know what that is really, but it's like.
I don't either.
You lie just so like you don't really hurt someone's feelings?
Yeah, I don't do those. Now, I do know how to use words, but I don't lie. It's like the number one thing. I decided as a kid, and I was really outspoken, and I used to get in a lot of trouble for my mouth. But I wanted to keep that. I wanted to keep that.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm.
It's something, at least.
I need to know the truth. I'm going to call you, my
for
girl.
For real.
Like,
yeah, lay it on you.
Like, you know what?
You're not really ready? Don't call me.
Do you accept the truth as well? Like, if somebody's like, nah, bruh.
I accept the truth.
That's
and I
good.
And I go looking for the truth. Because you can't trust people.
That makes it easier.
At yeah? all.
Everyone's a hype person. You know, you cannot trust people.
That's real.
When it comes to that, to give you the truth. People give you what they think you want to hear. Yeah. But you need those people who just gonna let you know what you need to be open to.
Actually,
I mean,
did you ever think about
last time? But
Here's the thing. All right, so before we hop into the questions, we always like to play this game with the males. It's called cognac and chit chat. With the females, it's called wine time.
Wonton?
Wine.
Oh, there's someone who said wonton. I was like, what's this new segment?
Are there any fortune cookies around? I
don't know. The Tokyo version.
So, do you drink?
I do a little bit.
Okay, great. Yep. So, cognac and chit chat. What it is I'll ask you a question. You're going to grab your glass, you're going to take a swirl, have a drink, and then answer it as honestly as possible.
Okay.
On this episode, it's not so much of a question. It's more of a. Actually, it is a question.
A question.
Would like to know. I would like
questions.
To know from your perspective what's happening. So let's grab our glasses.
Boom.
And we're going to watch this clip, and you're going to tell me what's happening in this clip, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Where's this clip?
It's a surprise clip. It's coming up.
Okay, it's coming up.
In the meantime, go ahead, swirl and get yourself ready.
Swirl.
Take a sip before you tell us what's happening.
You gotta aerate your cognac.
Come on.
Our girl Sky gonna bring it up.
This is apple juice. This is apple juice.
Uh-huh.
It's
apple juice.
So tell me what's happening
here. Let's watch it first.
Ooh.
Let's just watch it.
I want to say a whole bunch of nothing.
Let's watch it. Let's watch it.
Let's try
again. Oh, nothing's happening.
Nothing.
The problem is.
So, take a sip. Okay, everybody, take a sip.
You gotta take a sip.
I'm at. Sorry, y'all, I'm not drinking.
Mm-hmm. I'm drinking. Yeah, yo. Before you start, finished my drinking fast of December and November 1st. I got wasted. Thank you. Okay. Okay,
January 1st or January, November 1st?
She wasted now, y'all.
January 1st. Sorry.
You said November 1st?
I said November 1st.
Uh-oh. Way to bring it back.
Way to bring it back.
She was just speaking, you know, right. Before the fast and after.
And after. Yes. That's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So tell me, explain to the people what was going on in that clip.
So I think the real question is, what was supposed to be going on? Because what was supposed to be going on was a rehearsal for a professional job that actually paid you. Mm-hmm. But what happened was, I think we went to break.
There was
a whole rehearsal.
For those who don't know, Quinetta was in that video.
That was me with her white t-shirt on.
That was her with her back out.
So see, some people go to work, you know what I'm saying? They get there, they clock in, you know what I'm saying? They work hard. Then they get their 30-minute break.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have fun. Yeah. The deserved 30-minute break. Then they come back to work. Huh? You following me? Uh-huh. And they work really hard. And they go home tired from working really hard. Then there's other people, myself included, where you go to work, huh? And you just party from the beginning.
Nothing happens.
Uh-huh. And then you just look around and it's a few hours later and you're still doing nothing.
Nothing.
And then you go home and you're still just as tired from doing nothing. I'm guilty.
Because when I was watching the clip, I was like, okay, so who's the other girl in the corner? Where is the choreographer? Uh-huh. Are they going over steps? No. Was that made up
no.
steps?
That's nothing. And there was no music, really.
He was trying to...
Was there a show after
he
this?
He was trying to show us the choreography.
He was.
But he didn't have the counts right.
He didn't have nothing right.
So we were trying to figure it out as a three-piece. And in the midst of us trying to figure it out as a three-piece, we got lost.
Yeah, between this double people cartwheel he wanted us to do.
He tried to make me and Markel do a two-man cartwheel.
Oh, where you hold on to each other.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
I sat on the floor and I said, this is not Cirque du Soleil. I'm so sorry.
Mind you, the stage was this big.
Did y'all end up performing?
We did perform, and we gave everything we had.
Everything we had. And it was hot.
Couldn't tell us nothing.
Well,
yeah,
it was early stages. Jeez.
That was one of my first jobs.
Yeah, we was just out here just making it happen.
Here.
We was grateful.
Yeah,
and wild.
Grateful. Was there an audition process?
Like, I don't think so. No. We don't even know how. We don't know. But it happened. We do know it happened, and we do know there was a show. but we don't know anything else.
Where is the artist now?
I don't even know. I don't remember the artist's name.
I think it was a Latin duo group, a guy and a girl.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I got it. Accent.
That was the name of the group?
Or was that the song?
All right, so apparently they weren't there at all.
It was so long ago.
We wished them so much success in 2017.
Final question. Did the check cash?
I think they paid cash.
I think it was.
You know,
cash.
When you just started, jobs look different. Jobs look different when you just start out.
Because I know I needed that immediately.
Oh, yeah. I probably cried when I got it. It bees like that. Bees.
All right, y'all. About to go to McDonald's. Give me a mini moo.
$3 for saturated fat,
for plastic.
Yep.
Hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Into the questions. So. I'm not sure of the timeline after that job, but I know that sometime after that you did get sick and you had like a near-death experience. Can you explain and go into depth about what happened and how, like, just what happened? Because I know you got sick and we weren't as close still, even though we did the job, but I didn't know. I just didn't know, like, the full details. I just knew it was like, you know, send your prayers up.
Right.
Because...
I wasn't out here yet, so I'm very like, what happened? I just know you almost died, but then you didn't, and then you came back.
Right. Full throttle.
Yes. Full throttle, by the way.
Well, I always like to open up when I talk about this story by saying, one, God is real.
Absolutely.
And Bible miracles are real, because I'm one of them, even though I'm not in the Bible, but, like, I'm a miracle. And then the third thing is, nothing caused it. So it's a very important fact when I deal, when even for me, like dealing with it, nothing caused it. It wasn't poor eating. I was extremely healthy. I never did drugs. I've never smoked anything in my life. It wasn't a health thing. It wasn't a dance move that did it. It was as rare as if right now all your arms fell off. You'd say, how did my arms fall off? Like out of socket, skin break, bone, everything. How did this happen? It was that rare. So I like to talk about that and start there because you need to know that it's truly a divine moment, even though it sucked. It totally sucked. I will never talk it up like it was beautiful. And there's beautiful moments in a crappy situation, period. So what happened, my small intestine basically twisted like a tornado. Like when you wring out a rag, that's what my small intestine did. So if you don't know, your body is composed of your small intestine, large intestine. Small intestine is, for a male, is anywhere from 20 to 23 feet. And the large intestine is about 9 feet in an adult male. I called the hospital, or I showed up at the hospital emergency. Within 45 minutes of the initial pain to where it was happening, my stomach looked like I was pregnant. It protruded to no end. And I started to explode, basically, from the inside. A doctor comes in, taps my stomach, literally just boop, and is like, rush him to emergency surgery. I'm passing Jonathan and Johnny and Kat my phone. They were the first people on site. Mm-hmm. I passed them my phone. I was like, call my mom. By the time she gets here from Riverside, I'll be either in surgery or getting out of surgery. I'll be okay, though, because I've been in surgery before. Mm-hmm. That was a Thursday night. Right? I woke up out of a coma on Monday on life support with a ventilator, tube in my mouth, hooked up in intensive care. Like, what is going on? And everyone's looking at me like, oh my God, one, I can't believe he's alive and awake. And I'm looking like, yo, what's going on? Like, I thought I was just having a little minor surgery. I thought a brother was just constipated, like too much macaroni and cheese or something. Like, what's really going on? So the doctors start, they proceed to tell me that my small intestine twisted, and that they had to remove 16 feet of the 20 feet I had. So I had 20 feet of small intestine, and they removed 16 feet, but and it died off, and they put 2 feet of the end and 2 feet of the beginning of the small intestine together in hopes that it would come back alive so I could be able to eat food again by mouth. Throughout this process, your body goes into shock because I literally was cut down my entire center. At so far at this point, only 2 times, which is still a lot. So like Mortal Kombat looked like fatality. They cut me open trying to figure it out. The first one was just to keep me alive. Second surgery was to put it back together and see if it could respond. Normally, if you have any sort of abdominal surgery, big or small, your stomach goes dormant for a few days and then it comes back and you slowly begin to eat. Mine wouldn't come back and they were already worried if the intestines would work, but none of the stomach would wake up. So then I had to have a third surgery. So then they cut me open one more time again. And then 11 days later, I had to have a fourth surgery. Oh my so God. I ended up having all of these surgeries because they were just trying to get my stomach to wake up and trying to see what else was wrong with me at this point. It ended up being very horrible because nothing caused it. I had 7 blood transfusions. I almost died during the initial surgery, and then I almost died during the second surgery, to the point where my family called Pastor Teray, my pastor in Los Angeles, called him to tell him I pulled through. There's times when you can die, and you're like, I should have died, and then there's moments when you were right there. Like, the doctor literally came out to my family and gave them the speech of, like, I'm sorry, this isn't it. You know, then my mom always tells me, like, all your friends fell apart, but I was fine. I knew you would be okay. She's like, everyone else, though, couldn't take it. Your grandma was trying to kill people, you know, and all of these things. And, of course, I was knocked out asleep. So it was just this amazing story that just kept getting longer and longer and longer. So what I thought would be just a small surgery turned into me almost dying multiple times, turned into 4 surgeries, turned into the 7 blood transfusions I mentioned. My weight transferred. I went 150. I was on a tour, so I was in good shape, and I was down to 100 pounds. Ooh. I couldn't eat food by mouth. I was on an intravenous line that they connect towards your heart to feed you by fluid. So at the end of 40 days, I was still in that same spot. My stomach wouldn't respond. I couldn't keep food down. And it was a hopeless situation. It honestly was hopeless. So much so that I could hear the doctors before they come in my room trying to figure out what to tell me. like, okay, we can't tell him he's depressed but he is depressed. We can't tell him that it's not looking good even though he's alive, but my head surgeon had my back. He was like, whatever Michael believes, I believe. That's what he would always say. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to tell him any of that. We're going to see what he has to say and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. And me, I was so full of hope. Like I told you guys earlier, I'm full of hope. I'm full of faith. And that was a time to have faith, let me tell you, because the doctors had given up on me. My family didn't know what it was, and my friends, you know, were heartbroken. So all I had was my faith. It was the only lasting and pillar in my life that I could use to stand onto or to even stand up. So it just kind of just went on and on and on and on, and I just kept telling the doctors, like, God is going to heal me. God is going to heal me. God is going to heal me. So I said it enough to where they released me from the hospital, which was beautiful. I was like, God, just let me get released before my birthday. And I got released like August 27th, and my birthday was August 30th. I had a dinner and everything. Tons of people came. It was a very beautiful moment. But I was still struggling, not because now I didn't get out the hospital. Yeah, that's beautiful. I didn't die. Oh, that's beautiful. But I was still dead. I wasn't in a place to where I could dance. I wasn't in a place to where I could even work a normal job. Mm-hmm. I was ultimately handicapped at this moment, and I still couldn't eat food by mouth. I had a home care nurse that I was supposed to have a lot longer than I had her. I ended up firing her. And I had 3 appointments, and it was only supposed to be 1 appointment, but I kept telling them I won't go to get this thing put in my chest where I could eat food mm-hmm. through a tube. I was supposed to never eat food again by mouth, or drink anything by mouth. Yeah, you just saw me take a sip of cognac. What's up? And I had a patty pie today. What's up?
Oh, come on.
I never tried it, so I had to try it.
Me neither. Is it good?
I liked it. Okay. It's thick. It's definitely good for it to be $4. You feel me? You don't like it?
Had it? No. I've heard mixed reviews.
It was. I liked it for what it was.
Everybody I've heard talk about it has been like, I mean, it's worth $4.
Right.
And then when you think about it, like,
what does that mean?
Burger King selling 10 nuggets for $1.49. Yeah. Like,
it definitely doesn't replace the real thing, but it's a good snack, and it's better than all the other store-bought ones, in my opinion.
Okay.
So that's worthy, I would say. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, fast forward. It's like, I'm here, God, but I'm dead. I can't do any of the stuff you told me to do. I moved from Riverside to Los Angeles when I wanted to go to San Diego. I'm pursuing your dream that you had for me. This isn't even what I wanted it to look like. Mm. And then you allow something to happen to me that no one can explain. Mm. Like, no one can explain. You can't read about it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So I said the only thing that will make sense is for a miracle to take place and for my faith to be increased. So I just kept saying, if you don't believe what I believe, you can't come visit me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of family members started getting cut off. Most of my friends didn't know what to believe. So they just were like, okay, you know, so they weren't at least negative, mm-hmm. which was important. And then my nurse, Michael, you missed your appointment to get the thing put, the intravenous line put in your chest. You're going to die. You're not eating. Okay, you're fired. Because you have to believe what I believe. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to come up to my level. And at that point, I was so convinced I preferred to die in faith mm-hmm. than to live less than what God created me to live in. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to do. And then after I fired my nurse and they were like, what are you going to do? I took myself off of everything. I took myself off all the heart medication they had me on because I had heart failure. My heart worked at only 30% because my body went into so much shock. Mm-hmm. I took myself off the intravenous fluid that I'm supposed to eat. So now I'm basically not eating on a fast like Quinetta, but a different type. and I just said, God, you have to do something. And let me tell you how this is a difficult story because it's so long, but I guess you need the fullness of it. I finally won the victory of all of that. Mm-hmm. Right? My doctor called and was like, okay, we're going to take the tube out of you that to get it the temporary version of what I was using. We're going to take that out. We're going to take you off your medicine because you're not taking it anyways. Mm-hmm. And let's just see what happens. Right? I got that call on a Friday. That same day, I said, you know what? I'm going to go take a dance class. Jonathan was teaching, Ray Bond, and I went and took a class. And you can go on his YouTube and watch me dancing with all professional working dancers who I even looked up to, and I killed it. Mm. I weighed about 3 pounds, but I killed it, and I knew. I said, wow, I just danced like this, coming straight out of a near-death experience, haven't moved in months,
right.
Could barely walk. I struggled walking into the class, and I just hit the step. I knew it was a promise that God would see his dream for my life through.
Right.
So this is a beautiful Friday, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is beautiful. Then I go to the doctor on Saturday. I get the tubes removed out. Beautiful Saturday. Everything's just like, God, you've proven my faith to be true. Mm-hmm. Right? The first part, the first time I was in the hospital and that whole first 40 days of in the hospital plus all those months to follow, my faith was strong. My body was weak. Mm-hmm. Then I proved that my body could be strong, right? Friday and then Saturday. And then comes Sunday. Sunday. The day I did not expect again, something happened again. And my intestines, the little bit I did have, perforated. It got a small hole. I had to go back in the ambulance, back to the hospital, have this same surgery all over again. So now at this point, my faith is now tarnished. Because it's like, God, I gave you everything I had when I was in the hospital. I was praying for patients. Patients would come to my room getting prayer. Like, God, I gave you my everything. I sacrificed everything. My natural life, my spiritual life. I gave you my everything for you to prove that I could make it. And now I'm back in the same position. I'm pissed off. This is not how you treat people you love, God. This cannot be how you treat those you love. So like with like any other, because I'm like, I've always followed God. Most Christians, when you something bad happens, you start to say, it must have been me.
Yeah.
So I said, God, okay, I must have did something, a sin or something I did put me in this position. And then you have all your pastors and mentors coming in the office telling you, you know, God is so proud of you. I'm like, you can't be proud of me. This is not how you treat people you love. This is not how you treat people you love. This is just, this cannot be. God does not love me. There's no way he loves me. Mm-hmm. But I can guarantee you and tell you that I love him because I've given him my whole life up to this point. Never was wild. Never, never chose anything over God at any moment in my life. Always was God conscious. And the thing is, didn't want to be. I wanted to be wild. I'm good looking. You know what I'm saying? I want to be wild.
Be in these streets.
That's what I'm saying. You know? I'm not one of those Christians like, oh, yeah, the Lord is better. The Lord is better as a knowing. But as a feeling, everything else can be better. Straight up. You know what I'm saying? So it was hard. It was so hard. It was so hard that last time. But this is, I never lost sight of God's presence and how he was still working. Because even though my faith was weak, I paid attention to my body. My body was strong. It never went back on medicine. They weren't talking about I couldn't eat food by mouth anymore. It literally just was like, okay, you'll only be in here another 2 weeks to just bounce back from this and you'll be out. So it's just the only thing that was still bruised was my faith. And I had one good cry where I cried all night very loudly, like wailing, like loud, where they kept calling my friends like it's 3 a.m. He hasn't stopped screaming and crying. And I just got it all out, went to sleep, and then woke up. And then fast forward a few years later, ta-da.
Look at you, wow. Doug.
Beautiful. Give me a hug,
man.
That's
a beautiful story. It's a long story.
That's beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so long.
There's a lot of, you know, listeners who don't know who you are. And, I mean, even like myself, I didn't know the story in its entirety. So that was beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't even know the depths of that. I didn't know
very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. I can't even put into words how horrible it was.
Look at God. Thank God.
Right.
Shout out to G.O.D.
Shout out.
Or shot out.
Shout out to God.
Did that.
I'm just here for the camaraderie, everyone.
Keep the party going. Keep the party going.
It smells good.
All right. Ooh, well, that was great.
It was.
So, Mikel, I don't know if you've watched previous episodes since we've been here on the radio show. But we like to have fun, but we also like to make sure that we educate the public.
Okay.
We like to make sure that people are aware of where they started from and they know the basic knowledge to get them through everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the things that they pass down generation to generation, and to make sure that, you know, people are knowledgeable of their history so they can be familiar with their present to help them move forward in the future.
Yep.
So we just have a few questions for you, and we just want to see what your answers are. Just to provide some insight to our viewers and listeners.
Okay.
Let's do it.
First question. If your mother has four children named North, South, and East, what's the name of the fourth child?
West, no?
Your mother has four children. Named North, South, and East. What's the name of the fourth child?
Your mother has four children. Boom.
Uh-huh.
North. Oh, no, no, no. The name is Michael.
Exactly.
You said West.
No. Any mother. But it's like my mama. You should be like, yo mama.
All right, next question.
That's fun.
Say top once. Say top. Say top twice.
Top, top.
Say top three times.
Top, top, top.
Say top four times fast.
Top, top, top. Oh, it tried to get me.
Say top four times fast.
Top, 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 top.
What
top,
do you
top,
do with
top,
a green
top.
Light?
Go.
Oh, oh, you got that good.
Yeah, yeah. Most people say stop.
Because they've been saying,
you're saying top so much.
The thing is, but when you said four top fast, four say top four times fast, uh-huh. I thought, well, maybe I need to say it four times, but top fast. So I was going to go top, 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 four times.
That's so complex.
All right, next one. What's 9 plus 1?
10.
What's 5 plus 5?
10.
What's aluminum foil made of?
That's funny. 10. Oh.
That's funny. 10.
He was so sure. He was so sure.
Aluminum foil. Let me think of the 10 man.
Aluminum foil is made out of aluminum.
Aluminum.
For all my Baltimoreans, I like to say full.
Full. Full. Aluminum foil?
Full. Aluminum foil.
I say foil.
Give me, grab me that foil.
Full.
Pass me that foil?
Full.
Full.
I got a little foil.
Foil.
Do we have aluminum foil?
You got some aluminum foil?
Yeah, but foil is like what? I don't. That's not.
You're not saying anything
at all.
It's aluminum foil.
Let me get some aluminum foil.
Mm-mm. Four. Full.
You need aluminum four.
Next question. So we know that you're a world traveler. What continent is Europe on?
Europe.
Are you sure?
Ooh. Wait. I can't trust any of you now. I don't know.
What continent is Europe on?
I don't know. I don't trust you.
I don't want answer.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
I don't trust you. Europe is its own continent.
Oh, I said it, but then I didn't trust you.
Sure.
See, the problem is I don't trust them now.
All right,
he was like, Europe, wait.
All right, now you ready?
Yep.
If E...
E.
Y.
If Y-E-S mm-hmm. is yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
If Y-E-S is yes.
Uh-huh.
E. Y E S is
eyes.
Shit,
you ruined it.
It's okay though.
Yeah,
I ruined it.
What do most people say?
You're supposed to start off saying if Y E S spells yes, but she already started like if E Y. So in your mind, you already see the E Y. You're supposed to set it up as if you see the yes first, and then you add the
and
E.
And then
I'll be like
said...
yes.
Oh,
most people are like yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
All right, that was my fault. My
That's
fault.
Fun.
I'll take that one. Burr, 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 burr.
I like
last
these
question.
Games.
What year was Frederick Douglass president?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
What year was Frederick Douglass president?
I don't know.
Frederick Douglass. Who's Frederick Douglass?
Well, he was never a president.
There you go.
But still, you just got me worried now.
Barack Obama's the first black president, everyone, just in case.
And he's the 44th.
Look, but we found these questions online, and people's responses, especially to that, they were like, oh, like 73?
People say years?
Yes.
In between the window of like 60 to 75. This man was a born slave.
They're like, late 70s.
But see, now I feel like they're all trick questions, so I'm like, maybe he's the president of something I didn't know. Like,
yeah, maybe you ain't know.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, thank you for playing with us, man.
That was a good time. All right, so let's dive into the next question. So first of all, congratulations on being a part of the Purpose World Tour, Justin Bieber.
Thank you. Out here, tearing them up.
Yes. So you have such a bright presence and such a strong energy. In your opinion, what do you believe has been your greatest contribution to the entertainment industry?
I think my greatest contribution has been my positivity, mm-hmm. my honesty, and my relatability. Mm-hmm. I can talk to anybody. I talk to every person. When I'm on these jobs, I know everything about every single person. I know their families, their mom's name. Nick is my best friend. He's the creative director. And he's always like, how do you know this about them? Or how do you know this person? I'm like, oh, I got to know them. Mm-hmm. So I think that being relatable, I think to the industry, I made it okay to post all these dramatic, long, positive posts on social media. I was doing it years and years and years ago, mm-hmm. when people weren't even using Facebook for that. I was already using it for that. And the same with Twitter. And when I got my Instagram, I used it for that. I tried not to get Instagram, but my friends made me. And I used it for that.
So you said honesty, creativity, and relatability. Now, do you feel like that's what the industry is lacking? So that's what's made you so successful thus far?
I feel like the industry is lacking relatability, mm-hmm. and positivity, mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. Because even those who are positive and what we say is positive is actually it's just still networking, which is, so mm-hmm. it's not as honest, you know, that it's doing it for a reason. Like, I have to give money to this. I have to serve here. I have to do this because it shapes my identity and my image, mm-hmm. so that it looks a certain way for who I'm trying to be in the world, as opposed to genuinely being that mm-hmm. person.
Right.
And I think honesty is, I think we know how to be rude or just say what we feel, but we haven't learned how to say what needs to be said. What will actually make someone better.
Mm.
We know how to say what we like and don't like. We know how to have opinion, but we don't know how to give information that will transform someone.
Mm-hmm.
And my ability to be honest comes wrapped in that ability to fuel someone,
mm-hmm.
right.
not just state what I believe.
Right. I'm going to do another follow-up real quick. I've overheard from a little birdie that you had something to do with the name Purpose Tour.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think I did. Only thing I could say I've done, and I 100% believe that I played a huge part in that movement of the tour, and just a huge impact in Justin's life and the people connected to him. Because I've been praying, like I told Justin, I was like, bro, like before I knew you and before you even could remember me, because, you know, when you do jobs with artists and they're just quick jobs in and out, they don't always fully remember you. So my first job with Justin was 2011. It was dancer Stevie Wonder and him on X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when we turn around, I did the next job with him. He didn't really remember that. So I told him, I was like, yo, I've been praying for you for years, and the people close to you I've been praying for, mm-hmm. and really connected to. And I saw God answer my prayers and reveal to me how I had influence, mm-hmm. indirectly early on. I have enough experiences where I prayed something specific and then it happens. And I'm like, okay, that was a direct part, or that was directly happening from my prayer,
right?
Mm-hmm. So the song Purpose, that song is a worship song. We were at the club one day, and he was like, oh, come out to my Escalade. You gotta hear this new song I did in the studio. Mm-hmm. He was like, I made cry. And we was like, okay, we getting the thing. We were all like, yo, we felt it. We cried. It was the song Purpose. Mm-hmm. That was so far before we even knew an album was coming out, before What Do You Mean was coming out. And then we find out that, like, he chose that song, and he put that song as the title for the album and for everything else, Purpose. And so I just think it's funny.
Is this your first world tour?
Not really. It's my first. This is the biggest tour I've been on. Mm-hmm. But I've done another tour that went all over as well, with Austin Mahone.
That's so decent. Just the connection of it in your story and your journey. And then for this to be the largest tour that you've been a part of and project that you've been a part of, for that to be the title of it, and that mm-hmm. to be, like, the storyline behind it is great in itself.
Well, I always look at that because the last tour, the Believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted that one more than I wanted this one. Mm-hmm. This one I knew I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But that Believe tour, I wanted like so bad, but there were no spots for me because they already had the promo dancers. So I almost was the swing, but he wanted to be loyal to Michael Vargas and let him keep the swing position. But I almost still got it. Like, there was text messages. They upheld rehearsal a few days trying to figure it out, and I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And I always said, that's so ironic because I wholeheartedly believed I booked it. Mm-hmm. I put it on my resume before I even got the call. I went to the audition like I got it, and you couldn't tell me I didn't book this job. But until you told me I didn't book the job.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
And really, it was like, it was so crazy. I was like, wow. So in that tour, I did what I was supposed to do. I believed. And you never lose when you believe, period. Mm-hmm. I still won. And then for this one, I got it purpose because it was something I felt I need to do, and it's who I am, and it makes more sense for me to be a part of this tour than the last tour. He was in a different place during the Believe tour, and even my friends were. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have suited me as best as it suits me now, from just a lifestyle perspective, even.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, man.
That influence.
I mean, you've been really busy. I mean, you've been also writing an EP.
Sometimes I do sing.
And then you also wrote your first book, The Mighty Little Book.
Woo woo, it's so good.
Can you just talk to us about like what led you to branch out into singing, into writing, and what was the journey in that entire process?
Okay, let's start with the book. Yeah. The book... It's special because I always wanted to write a book. I thought it would be an autobiography, though. Mm-hmm. I just thought, like, oh, people will hear about my life, and that's it, you know? I started doing all of my posts online, like I said, for years and years and years, and I would go back and read the content, and it just seemed like it was really good content. Like, I would, and then I also knew because I would read it, and I would get moved by it, even though it came from me.
Right.
And so that already let me know that it wasn't me writing as much as God's spirit through me and using me as a vessel. Mm-hmm. So it already gave it more credibility that whatever I'm writing is more so legit. It's not from a place of skill or a place of hustle, but something that God wants to say to me, through me, and to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I looked around and had all of this material, years and years of material. And prior to years before I even knew I would write the book, something told me to keep track of everything. So I had a fan in India, so far away, who just was like, I love everything you do. And I wasn't even the Mike Yom yet, you know what I'm saying? Or the Mike Yom now.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to support me. So every month he would go on all my social platforms, copy and paste, and then mail me, here's what you posted January. Here's what you posted February. Here's what you posted, da-da-da. And he just would copy and paste. And so I have, like, months and years of my writings. And I was sitting down with a friend and I was just like, the world needs things that they can take with them that inspire them daily, that motivate them to transformation. Mm. Everybody's saying, when I get to the platform, I want to inspire. Right. But inspire people to do what? Because inspiration's inspiration. Right. You can inspire someone to go kill everyone. You can inspire someone to do drugs. You can inspire someone to do all these different things. Inspiration isn't always positive. Mm. You know, and neither is transformation, but at least transformation totally shifts someone from where they were to somewhere new.
Right.
I said, I need to give some people something that they can always go back to or always carry with them so that the inspiration can build up to transformation.
Yeah.
So I said a book, and then I thought of a wallet and a keychain, which I made that I've never released. I haven't released it yet, but I have handmade leather wallets and keychains with my logo on them. And I said, people don't switch out their wallets too often. And once people throw a keychain on there, it's stuck forever. Yeah. You know? So I said, if I can create these products and then give each one their own moment of a word or some sort of influence, without them knowing they're carrying a flame that will keep burning to lead them to transformation. I finally got to the book. I just reached out to someone. The first company I reached out to, she felt like she could help me. Front row seat, Karen Rowe.
Hey.
And yeah, she hooked
front
it up.
Front row seat,
Karen Rowe.
And yeah, the process began. I already had the material. I just had to go through and read everything and really start to ask God what the people need to hear and what's the point of the book. Right. So the point of the book is to basically cause people to live inspired. And for me, living inspired is fanning the flame of hope in you every single day. not just lighting it up one day, getting excited, and the minute of a trial comes, it blows it out, but having the capacity yourself to fan it every day. Because real leaders build other leaders. Real kings build other kings and queens. So I didn't want to limit the castle of who I am to me. I wanted to build a kingdom of people who are strong and people who are mighty and people who are inspired on the daily.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of the book. And it ended up being just it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done in my life. Like, I mean, top three, easy. Mm. This feeling, nothing can replace it. Mm. Like, nothing. Mm. Like, even, like, the things I've done in the industry didn't make me feel like how this book felt. Mm. And if you know people who write books, you don't make a lot of money from writing books. But what it does to your character and what it does for the people that read it, that is priceless.
Yeah.
Right? And then the music, singing was my
first. Could you hold that up so we can see that, please?
A mighty little book. Boom.
Mighty little book.
And it's available everywhere, y'all. It's not like everywhere. You got to come find me on the street and get it from my trunk. No shade to the hustle. But it's literally everywhere in every country, any major book store, Amazon, and ebook if you don't like the hard copy. But I personally prefer the paperback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the page design is cool. And you don't get that with the ebook.
The text.
Mm-hmm. Now, the music. Singing was my first dream before me not wanting to be a typical black person who has talent, right? It was the first thing I wanted to do. My mom was a professional singer and gave up the dream entirely before she had any kids for no reason at all, which is a whole separate thing. I don't know. She just gave it up. And I always wanted to be a singer. And my mom told me, it's so funny, but she was like, you only sound good singing Tevin Campbell. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, well, that's not diverse enough. Let me give it up. So I gave up the dream for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then I become a professional dancer, and that's working well. And I see this vision for that route. But there's something pressing upon me to sing still. Mm-hmm. I linking it to me going in the hospital. At the time, the first lady of my church looked at me, and I was new at the church. I hadn't been there just a few months, a year or so. So they didn't really know much about me. She's like, I feel like you're supposed to join the praise team. Mm. Didn't know I sang anything. Didn't sit in front of me and heard me sing. And I was like, really? Right? So I took it as a sign. I never made it to the audition because 2 days later, I went into the hospital.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Then fast forward over a year later, I'm out of the hospital. Someone else who doesn't know me looks back and like, I really feel you're supposed to join the praise team. I know. So I was like, okay, I'm supposed to join the praise team. I go and audition for the praise team. Lost my voice. It only came back for the audition. So singing started out as, like I said, my number one dream, right? Mm-hmm. And I gave it up for, I felt I couldn't do it.
Right.
And then I was willing to pick back up a portion of it. But this time, without me realizing it, I was taking that dream, but first giving it to God before myself.
Right.
And that's key. And the reason why that's key is because on our praise team at One Church, everyone is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a professional singer, and every single person can really sing.
Right.
Then you have Michael Wilson, who can sing, but I don't sing like them, and I'm a dancer first. Mm-hmm. So it's just like I have everything working against me. I reach out to someone I knew at the church. We weren't friends yet, but I knew him, and I was like, yo, I need some vocal exercises to strengthen my voice. Long story short, it turned into this huge thing where he felt he was supposed to give me free 8 sessions. And he's a big songwriter and producer for a lot of people. Not Harmony, but this guy, Rich King. And he started working with me. And it was just intense. I would cry every session and just start breaking down. And I knew there was something there. And he would call me and say, Michael, I know you're just doing this to serve better at the church and to serve for God. But there's more in it for you.
Right.
And that's why I think God blessed my project, and I know he's going to bless my music because I 100% gave it to him first. Mm-hmm. I was paying for these lessons after I got the first 8 at the price I wanted. I was paying an exceptional amount of money for that in studio space just for the sake of serving better at church. Mm-hmm. No strings attached. Not trying to be a star, not trying to be seen, nothing other than to serve God. Mm-hmm. And I felt like by honoring that, he reminded me of my dream.
Absolutely.
And then he gave it back to me in this contest I won through Idol Tuesdays LA, which is a recording studio in Los Angeles. They house one artist a year, and you just have to come with your original songs. And then if they choose you, then they put a whole team behind you. Mm. And so I got a whole team behind me for this. It was done professionally and exceptionally well. I wrote everything. There's one song I wrote with Matt Bang. Everything else was me. And then all of the interludes on it, they're like song interludes. Mm-hmm. I freestyled them in the moment.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, so I'm excited about the music because it was the, I had to go back into something I wanted to do, and I had to embrace that I wanted to do it. And it could be scary doing that, and you can feel like, okay, I gave that dream up a long time ago, or you can feel like I'm not good enough because I still know a million and one better singers than me, but none of them are me. None of them have my message. And by pursuing what I know I should, I discovered how true I could be to myself. Yeah. And I discovered an appreciation for my talent. I love my singing voice now. I love myself as an artist, and I love what I'm going to bring to the music industry.
Mm. That's beautiful. Now, listen, we only got about 5 minutes left.
So I'm so long-winded, too.
No, it's good.
So, yeah, and, I mean, everything that you say is just so impactful, you know what I mean? And it's so great to just really just sit and be in your presence and really listen to what you have to say.
That's nice.
there are some moments in your book that if we could just do, a speed round of, maybe what you thought of when you put this together, if you can remember.
Nice speed run.
There's from the chapter of love, we have here, you said, if you can't even manage the hearts of those who love you, what cruelty will you do to those that don't?
This happened because some of my closest friends had ultimately fully let me down. And some of them don't know that some of these passages are about them.
Yeah,
but it literally came from that experience of when people hurt you that you know love you, it's mind-blowing.
Yes.
And you get mad and you say, you don't love me, but I know these people love me. Mm-hmm. They just, failed. They had this moment, and that's how that came about.
Beautiful. From the chapter of identity, you have a WCW moment in here. I just want to read this really quickly. He said, what makes women powerful isn't the proof that they can do what men do, but the embracing of what makes them different from men and adding to the sexuality and the world. One's strength is always found in their uniqueness, not their ability to duplicate what already is. I love women for who they are, who they can be, and I uplift who they will be. I invest in the women around you. I'm sorry, invest in the women around you. Check my video, too. Mm-hmm. So can you just talk about that?
Well, the check my video too is because there's a YouTube video I made as well called World Changing Women. And it has a lot of females dancing, and then they do a declarative part where they're like, I'm beautiful, I'm bold, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this.
Wow.
And I did that because I think women in general, women, this is a message. I think you associate the fact to prove your identity as women by showing you can do what men do. And that's not what makes you a woman. What makes you a woman is being opposite and us needing that opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, if a woman would understand that, she would find value in the things that she's not supposed to do, that a man's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And just because you can do something doesn't mean you're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. It just means you have that capability. But I can sleep in my car, but it's still not a house.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So just because a woman can do what a man does and a man can do what a woman does at times, it doesn't mean you're supposed to. So if you would find more confidence just in your unique identity instead of proving you can match another male's identity, we would see a lot stronger women. We would get stronger men.
Absolutely. Now in this chapter of healing, this is the last one I'll do. You said, if defense is your first response, pride will lead you to kill the very people you once loved. Let it go. If you hold on to pain, you won't have space for joy.
It's just forgiveness, honestly.
Yeah.
You have to forgive. And if the minute someone confronts you, if you're defensive, there's no love in that.
Absolutely.
If in an argument you make the goal about you being right instead of let's make sure we keep the love, then you're not in the place of healing or forgiveness.
Beautiful. Michael, could you just quickly just go ahead and tell everyone your social media handles, where they can get your book, where they can get your EP, and how to just keep up with you in general? Go ahead and just shout it on out.
What's up, y'all? I'm Michael Wilson. You can follow me at Mighty Michael, M-I-G-H-T-Y, Michael, M-Y-K-E-L-L, right? Also, MightyMichael.com or MichaelWilson.com will lead you to my website. Sometimes I sing, available on iTunes, but not Apple Music. It's not streaming yet. You have to pay for it, but it's $5, y'all. And then the Mighty Little Book, boom, available everywhere books are sold, including Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, if you're in the state, Chapters Indigo, if you're somewhere else, Waterfront, yep, Waterfront, if you're in Europe, And just follow my journey online. I don't post just cliche selfies all day. I post a lot of inspiration that you can get for free if you don't have the ducats yet.
Absolutely. And again, we are so grateful to have you. Thank you so much, Michael.
Coming up.
Hey, my name is Michelle Michener. You can follow me at Michelle Michener.
My name is Janine Holcomb. You can follow me at Moments Matter because they do.
I'm Quinny from Philly. That's QUINNYFRMPHILLY.
And again, you are on
The Come Up.
We'll catch you next week. Have another amazing guest. We love you. Thank you for supporting us. Happy New Year. We out. And Michael, brother.
Thank you.
Why are you yelling?